happen right now. Father, we praise you and we thank you that your grace and your mercy continues to abound upon our lives. We ask, O God, that you transform our lives as we enter your presence, as we sit in your presence. Let your glory, O God, shine upon this place. Cause the light of your revelation to flood our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Touch our lives afresh, O God. It is so good to be in your presence. There's nothing that we desire more on earth or in heaven but to be in your presence. Father, we know you are here through your Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus in our midst. And we ask, O God, that if there be any need in our midst, whether those needs be areas that are in the spirit, or in their soul, or in their physical bodies, we ask that through the preaching of your word, you would speak the right word to each life that will meet that need. And that through the ministry of your word, your power will flow into the specific areas of needs in each life. We thank you, O God, that it is not by coincidence that we are here. We ask, O God, that you establish each one of us in all the worship and the honor for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of 1 Corinthians has 16 chapters. It is written together with 2 Corinthians, and the period of time is not that long between 1 and 2 Corinthians. And both books, or both epistles, are written from the city of Ephesus. And it's written when Paul was in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. He stayed in Ephesus a period of about 3 years. Two of those years, his ministry centered in a place called the School of Tyrannus. And the time period is about AD 60 that Paul wrote this letter. Apparently, Paul went to Corinth in Acts chapter 18, and then he went to Jerusalem and then went to Ephesus. So some time had passed by. It was at least several years. Some people put it roughly about 5 years plus or minus since the church started. Some put it about seven. They are all different time period. But if we take the chronology that we gave the last week as we study Paul's epistles, if we date Acts 19, as Paul began his ministry, to be about AD 60. Then Acts chapter 18, in verse 5, when Paul was in Corinth, let's look at Acts 18, verse 5. We date that, and we want to be consistent with our dating. Acts 18 verse 5, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was constrained by the Spirit and testified to the Jews. And so that period of time that he was there, he taught the word of God. He taught the word of God, and he continue and until verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. That is in Corinth. So if we put the date to be about AD 58 in Acts 18 verse 11, and we see that they have roughly a period of about let's say 3 years, 2 to 3 years. So it seems like there were recent developments. And when Paul headed in Acts 19, We do not know at which part of his Acts 19 that he wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians. But apparently, he had 3 years there. So if there was 2 years from AD 58 in Acts 18 verse 11, and he entered Ephesus in AD 60. So we would put it to be roughly, also approximately, possibly, at the end of it, it would have been 5 years. At the beginning, would be 2 years. In the middle, would be about 4 years. So we have the chronology of the book of 1 Corinthians as we consider this book. This book, as we say that the books or the epistles of Paul are not arranged in chronological order. The first epistles, among the first epistles that Paul wrote, if you take the later Galatia theory, which we will touch on that, some people felt that Galatian, the book of Galatians was the first book. Some scholars felt that it was somewhere in between. But if you're among the scholars that take it to be the later one, then 1st and 2nd Thessalonians would be among his first epistles. And we don't come across them until much, much later. We realize that the arrangement of this canon the Holy Bible, the New Testament, was arranged possibly on a spiritual order by a leader in the early church by the name of Eusebius. And that's how we got the order today. But as we look at the order, it seems that they are in a sort of spiritual order. Then we have in Romans, we find it speaks about the Christian life and the gospel. What the Christian life is about. Freedom from sin and freedom from all those laws, sin and death, which would include sickness, because death is the ultimate end of all sickness. And freedom from sin, freedom from sickness, freedom from the curse of the law. Then in 1 Corinthians, we see that this book speaks about the Christian church. Next week, we look at 2 Corinthians and we see it talks about the Christian minister. So there is like a spiritual progression as we read Paul's 9 epistles to the churches. Let's look at 1 Corinthians now. This is therefore a letter or an epistle that we have all these Bible terms and epistle. It's just a simple word that means a letter. I don't know why they must use that special word. Some of you young Christians may wonder what an epistle is. You may think that an epistle is the wife of an apostle. Mrs. Epistle, right? An epistle is just a letter. This is a letter that Paul wrote, and this is a collection of his letters. The book of 1 Corinthians is divided into two sections. The first section is from chapter 1 right on to chapter 6, and they cover church problems that occurred. From chapter 7 onwards, Paul covered questions that were asked about him. And all those questions that were asked concerned the church and how to run the church, how to deal with different situations. And of course, when they are the church, they also involve Christian life too. But primarily, there were church situations that he has to handle. So in the first part of 1 Corinthians, he deals with problems that he perceived. In the book of 1 Corinthians, how did he hear about that problem? Let's look here in 1 Corinthians. And he says from verse 11, "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." But Paul was not there himself. Paul was not an eyewitness of all those problems. All those problems only started after Paul left. Approximately about 2 to 3 years possibly. So there was a time period when that took place. And here was Chloe, who hearing that Paul was in Ephesus, he comes all the way to Paul and reports what was going on in Corinthians. in Corinth. Paul depended on the words of the household of Chloe. So we ask the question, is it right to hear something that is reported by another party about something else? We see here that the correctness of a fact or a report depends on the reporter. So sometimes when I hear certain things, and if you are in the church long enough, you know that the fastest way to spread news is through the grapevine. Just goes word by word of mouth, very fast. And you hear a lot of things. And this is important because every leader has to confront that. Being a pastor, you do not know everything unless the Lord reveals some things to you. But other times you hear what your church members tell you. How do you react? And what do you do? Usually, sometimes my wife will hear it, sometimes one of my elders or deacons or associate pastors. And then I will ask this question. Who told you that? If they are not willing to tell me who, then I'm not interested to hear. But when they tell me who told me that, then I say, well, if it is Sister A, you got to minus 50%. If it's Sister B, minus 25%. Because they add to the story. They are Christian artists who like to color. The story was too dull. So they make it more interesting. And not that they really were deliberately trying with malice or slander or with evil or anything. Most of them are sincere, good heart. But it's just what I call character and personality. And just like it takes four Gospels to talk about the life of Jesus, and not a single one of the Gospels are the same. There are similarities. So you can see that even the apostles, to report about the life of Jesus, it takes four Gospels to see different aspects. And so it's just a matter of personality. And so when I find out who says it, then we will reduce. And by doing that, you're not constantly reacting to situations, because there are people with characters that add color to a story, and it makes life interesting. But there are some people with ability to report it exactly, almost 99%. And so Paul must have known Chloe's house. And it depends on the spiritual walk of a person. There's quite a high level of dependence that you can have and trust what this person is saying. So it is not just what is said, but who said it. And then Chloe was not willing to say, hey Paul, when you write this letter and correct them, please don't put my name there. Do you know if Chloe's household is going to say that, Paul is not going to believe that report. In verse 10 and 11, straight away he said, Chloe told me this. Now if Chloe told a lie, when he get back, he'll be bashed up. If Chloe told the truth, he'd be willing to face it. See the difference? Now, a lot of people, when they report something, if they are not willing to come face to face with the people they report about, then you cannot accept what they say. When Paul wrote this epistle, it was as if Paul was taking Chloe and said, Chloe, if what you say is correct, I'm going to take you by the hand and all your household, and you come along with me, and let's deal with the problem. And we'll say, hey folks, Chloe told me this and he's right here. Now tell me, what are the situations?